God in a little box. But we can't do that, man. You know, it's not, listen, it's about him. And if he wants to do a miracle, he will do a miracle. Amen. What I'm saying, sometimes we're like, oh, God doesn't do that today, or God wouldn't do that. And oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Let's not miss our blessing. That's what I'm really trying to say. So Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. It's a lot of text right there. So we've been talking about little Mary for the last couple weeks. And the angel appeared to her and said, hey, you are highly favored of the Lord. And the angel says, look, God has called on you to be the mother of the Messiah. And Mary says, I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be as you have said, or whatever. She says, okay, I'm your servant. Now we're going to talk about Joshua. No, I'm sorry. Now we're going to talk about Joseph. Joseph. So before we get into this text, where we're going to start, the one thing that Joseph knows is that Mary's pregnant. And he knows it's not his kid. That's what he knows right now. So when we jump into our text, we see Joseph who's brokenhearted and confused. But let's see what happens. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Oh, Father God, we love you, and we need you. We need you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that your will be done in this service. Thank you, Father God, that our ears and our hearts are open to receive the word. Thank you for strengthening and guiding your messenger. And thank you for your Holy Spirit just falling on all of us, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for just strengthening us. And let us truly focus on you, Lord, because it's all about you. We can do all things through you, but we are absolutely nothing without you. And everybody in the church building said, amen. God is good, right? Give him some praise. So let's go to the next slide and let's jump into this. Matthew 1 and verse 18. And the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So Matthew, the author of this book right here, wants us to all understand, it's right here in the text, that this is 100% God thing and Mary's obedience. No man had anything to do with this, you know. And Mary knows that this is a God thing. Mary's relatives, Zechariah and Elizabeth, knows that this is a God thing. And Joseph soon is going to realize that this is a God thing. But it's very interesting that by and large, the vast masses of people will always think that Mary was an adulteress. They will always think that Jesus was birthed out of, or conceived out of an affair. And you say, well, Paul, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, just like what I said, look at John 8 and verse 41. Just to imagine this young lady, Mary, going through her life with this scarlet letter type thing, you know, everybody looking down on her, everybody thinking, well, she's a naughty girl and all that stuff. And you know, that sounds so silly and trivial. Man, back then that could have been a death sentence. Joseph was well within his legal rights to have her put to death, because Joseph, like I said, the one thing he knew is that she was pregnant and that wasn't his kid, you know. But if we look at John 8 and 41, this stigma followed Jesus around through his whole life, his whole earthly ministry. So John 8 and 41, Jesus is having a heated discussion with the Pharisees. The Pharisees are attacking him, and they let me just read this. You are doing the works of your father. You are doing the works your father did. That's what Jesus is saying to these guys, because Jesus was talking to them and he was saying, look, you're a slave to sin and you don't have to be a slave to sin. And they were like, no, we're not slaves to anybody. We're children of Abraham. That's what the Pharisees were saying. And then Jesus says, no, not really. You are doing the works of your father, but if Abraham was your father, then you would be doing the works like Abraham did. But you are serving your father, but Abraham's not your father. And what Jesus is implying, because he will get in the next couple of verses down the way, what he is saying is, Pharisees, your father is the devil. So there was this heated exchange where the Pharisees were just trying to trip Jesus up. And Jesus says this, you are doing the works of your father did. You are doing the works your father did. Now listen to what they say. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. So these Pharisees, they go from saying, well, we're children of Abraham. Now they take it a step farther and say, no, God is our father. And Jesus says, well, if God was your father, then you would love the Son. And they didn't love the Son. But look at this right here. This is what these Pharisees say. We were not born of sexual immorality. What are they implying? I mean, it's so blatant. They're saying, Joseph ain't your daddy. And they sure didn't believe the miracle of the miraculous conception. Amen. But Mary had to know this, man. You know, this is something that followed them around. But Mary had to know when she said, I'm the Lord's servant. She had to know this is a very real possibility that her family, you know, would ostracize her. That's a very real possibility. That Joseph could just say, you know what? I can't handle this. I'm done with you. And that's on the good side of the spectrum. You know, on the other end, you know, she could be dragged to the edge of the city and stoned to death. But look what Mary said. What I'm saying is, she knew that this was going to be a hard road. Little Mary knew this was going to be a hard road. But I still got to say this too. There's no way she understood how hard that road was going to be. You know, there's no way she would have known that she would watch her son nailed to a tree. There's no way she would have known that. But she said, whatever it is, whatever you got planned for me, God, listen, whatever you got planned for me, God, not my will, but your will be done. Luke 1:38, this is what she said. This is Mary talking to the angel. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Can you imagine the weight of what this angel just said to this little girl? God wants you to have his child. God wants you to have the Messiah. You know, and all these things got to be racing through her head. But she said, you know what? I'm God's servant. I was put here on this earth to give God glory and honor. Mary said, I'm going to do whatever. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So Mary says, not my will, but your will be done. And we got to say, Pastor Paul has to say, the congregation of Victory Life Church needs to say, we all need to say, you know, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and just like Mary, we don't have a clue what's really waiting around the corner for us. We might have somewhat of an idea like Mary did, but we don't know. Our whole world could change tomorrow. You know, we have no clue, but we still say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Why were we put on earth? We're put on earth to give God glory, to give him honor. Can I get a witness? Give him some praise. Matthew 1:19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But it says husband, shouldn't it say like fiance? Well, you know, the deal is that these ancient betrothals were really, really, really more in depth than our engagements that we're used that we are used to. You know, so this betrothal that Mary and Joseph is in, there's only a couple ways out of it. Joseph would have to divorce her, because this is a legally binding thing that they are now into. So he would have to divorce her, or she would have to be put to death. That's the only way they can get out of this thing. So it is correct when it says husband. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame. Look, a just man unwilling to put her to shame. Now we kind of see, church people, why God picked Joseph to be his stepdad. Think about what I just, this is one of these crazy things in Scripture. Now, it's completely true, you know, but Jesus got to pick out his mother. You know what I mean? He got to pick out his mom. He got to pick out his stepdad. You know what I mean? And we see with just this little bit of, we don't have a lot of information about Joseph, but we can see in this verse right here why Joseph was the man for the job. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, unwilling to put her to shame. Like I said, he could have had her stoned. He could have had her put to death. But he just says, look, I don't want to put her to shame. Now he's hurt. His heart's broken. He's confused. He's going through a lot of mess right now. But one thing he has decided is, I don't want to hurt Mary. I don't want her to go through any shame or torment. It's kind of like what Jesus Christ did for us. You know what I mean? When Jesus says, stop living in that, man. Stop living in what you did in the past. Stop living in the shame of your youth. Can I get a witness? Jesus is like, I paid for that at the cross. I don't want you, like Joseph, he's like, I don't want you to have to feel that. I paid for that. I took that away on Calvary, you know? Just like our Savior Jesus Christ. So we do. We see how, you know, Joseph was the right man for the job. Look at Matthew 18:21-22. You notice this thing right here. Joseph's not holding a grudge. Well, he's not looking to get even. You know, I mean, in this culture, in this society, this could have been totally different. If it was another person besides Joseph, it probably would have been completely different. But God knows what he's doing. Can I get a witness? But look, this is what he says. This is what it says about Job. And being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He could have made a big public spectacle about that, even if he's just divorcing her. He could have made a big show of that. And like I said, he could have had her put to death. That kind of thing happened. Actually, that kind of thing still happens. Amen. So look at Matthew 18:21, talking about why Joseph is the man for the job. But this guy right here, he's a real piece of work, man. He's an amazing guy. Just think about Joseph here for a second. Hold on one second. Think about Big Joe and all that he has had to deal with. You know, during this betrothal process, he would have been preparing a home for Mary. He would have been getting all the stuff ready for their life together. And at this time, Mary would have been about 3 to 4 months pregnant, because she had already went to Elizabeth and Zacharias. So all of a sudden, his world, man, is just, boom, turned upside down. And he could have made a big mess out of Mary's life, but he didn't. There's a lesson for us in that as well. Matthew 18:21-22, the Apostle Peter. I like this guy. You know what I like about Peter is I see a lot of myself in Peter. It's true. The guy, anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But so Jesus is doing the teaching thing, and Peter comes up to him, And Peter says this. I'm just going to read it. Then Peter came up and said to him, to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? So what Peter, what, okay, so in this culture, you had to, it was encouraged, you had to forgive somebody up to three times. Yeah, three times. So for some reason, Peter doubles that, you know, and he adds a pinch to grow an inch, man. He puts another one, so he doubles it plus one. You know, maybe he's looking for a pat on the back. Maybe he's looking for some attaboys. Maybe he's like, hey, disciples, check this out, man. I'm doubling up. I will forgive somebody six, seven times. What do you think about that, Jesus? And Jesus said this. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, Pete, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Okay, well, that's a lot more forgiven. That's a lot more forgiven I got to do, I guess. Well, you know, but 77 times? If we have forgiven some dude or some lady, I don't know, 76 times, and you're thinking, I only got to forgive her one more time, dude. Oh, just one more time. And I know that's going to happen really soon. I only got to forgive her one more time. Then I can get even with Stephen. Yeah. Then we ain't forgave nobody. You ain't been forgiving nobody anyways. You know what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you're counting, then you ain't forgiving nobody. Just release them. And that's what we see with Joseph here. A lot just happened to Joseph. And he's just like, I don't want to drag her name through the mud. I just want to release her. And that's what God is calling us to do as well, man. You know. People get hurt in the church by other church people. Surprise, yeah, we all know that. We get hurt out there in the world. Our families hurt us. We hurt our families. You know, that's just part of the world we live in. Somebody said that there's no enduring friendships, or there's no lasting relationships without forgiveness. No lasting relationships without forgiveness. And God makes a really, really big deal about just releasing people, about letting it go. And so once again, we see why Joseph was the man for the job, because he could have made such a mess out of things. He says, no, I don't want to shame her. I'm not worried. I just want to release her. Everybody doing all right? God is good. Matthew 1, verse 20. I believe we're still on the same slide. Are we on the same slide? Oh, it is at the bottom. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. There we go. See, I got confused a little bit there. So look at here. Matthew 1 and verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So now we're getting somewhere, all right? Because Joseph has just been a mess, but he's just saying, I just want to release Mary. I don't want to drag her name through the mud. I don't want to do any of that. But as he's thinking about how his world just got tipped upside down, you know, an angel appears to him in a dream. And I find that very, very telling because, you know, I think for me, and obviously a lot of us as well, you know, sleep is like our only friend sometimes when we're really going through it. Or it's like an escape. Can I get a witness? You know? So we see this guy right here that's really going through it. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. So this is the point I want to bring out real fast. This guy's going through it. Can we agree on that? But look, the scripture says that he is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So here's Joseph just dealing with this craziness. But look who comes calling. God sends an angel to encourage him, you know. And this is for me and for you when we're going through it. And I hope everything's perfect and wonderful in your life. I really do. But when you're going through it, God wants us to remember that he is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He stands at the door and knocks. He's saying, I'm here. If you want to go through it alone, go through it alone. But I'm here, and I want to give you comfort as we go along through this journey. He's close to the brokenhearted. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Oh, well, that's important that Joseph is from the house of David. Because remember when the angel was talking to Mary, and she was talking, the angel was talking about Jesus, saying he'd be the son of the Most High God, and he will be sit on the throne of his father David, right? So now we see it really coming together. This prophecy, this promise that God gave David, you know, Joseph, Jesus's legal father, amen. Jesus, when Joseph adopts Jesus, Jesus becomes part of the house of David. So everything is coming together just perfect. Can I get a witness? Everything's coming together. What I mean is all the impossibilities, man. Have you ever looked at all these prophecies about Jesus Christ being born and this his childhood and all this, and how these things that were completely impossible came together? That's the God we serve. He does the impossible. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Don't be discouraged, man. Don't fear. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, this is it, man. Joseph, don't be scared. Real simple. Joseph, don't be scared. Trust in God. That simple. Well, it sounds simple, amen. But when the rubber meets the road, let's make sure that we are truly trusting in God and not being discouraged by the wind and the waves, amen. But the angel's just saying, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary. Yeah, just trust in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Follow along with me, church. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, because this is for us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord 100%. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's what the angel's saying to Joseph. Just trust in God, bro. Just trust in God. This is a God thing, Joseph. We're sticking with plan A, Joseph. You're going to go through with it, and it's going to be worth it, man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Easy way to look at that. Take this book right here and trust in it. Believe it to be true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe this to be true. Okay? God's word is truth. Thank you, Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So, number one, I believe God's word to be true over anything else. I'm not going to allow myself to deceive me. Amen. I'm not going to listen to what somebody else says. If it's contrary to what God's word says, I'm not going to soak in. I'm not going to listen to it. Amen. 100% trust in God's word. Because sometimes it's the difference between being blessed and not being blessed. Sometimes it's the difference between life and death. You know what I'm saying? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't look at how something is so impossible and how it didn't work out for so-and-so or whatever. Now you're looking at the wrong stuff. Go back to God's word and stand on that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, submit to him. Submit to him. Trust, peace, God. Trust in God. Don't be distracted. Don't be deceived. Don't waste time. Trust in his word and submit to his word, because there's a difference between just believing his word is true than acting on it. Amen. You know what I mean? If you want the benefits, if you want the blessings, amen, we act on his word. We submit to his rule over our life. Amen. Like Joseph, like Mary, you know, Joseph could have been like, nah, the cost is too high, man. I know she was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I get it. That's great. She's going to have the Messiah. That's a road I'm not willing to go down with her. Can't do it, man. I don't want people to think that I'm the dude that decided to marry Mary, even though I knew she was cheating on me. I don't want to be that dude. Even though he doesn't say that, does he? Thank God. Or the whole nativity thing would be a lot different. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You have to work to trust in the Lord. It's very easy to be led astray. Our hearts are so deceitful, man. You know what I mean? But here's the deal, man. Trust in him and submit to him. And if I can do that, and he will make straight your paths. He will get me to the place I need to be. So you want God's will done in your life, and you're constantly trying to figure out, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Trust in his word, believe his word, and submit to his word. And he will get you to the place in life, geographically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, wherever he needs you to be. That's where we're going to be. Can I get a witness? And we see this played out with Joseph. We see this played out with Mary. We're like, I'm just trusting in God. My mind's going crazy thinking about what this really means. So I'm just going to trust in God. And I'm just going to do what God tells me to do. And he's going to make my path straight. Give the Lord some praise. Matthew 1 and verse 21. We're continuing along with what the angel is telling Joseph. So, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is a God thing. We're sticking with plan A here, Joe. It's bigger than you can imagine. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means God saves. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's Christmas right there, man. You know, it's just so good. It's so wonderful. You know, every single person in here, we've all broken God's law. We've all fallen short. You know, there's not a single person in here that doesn't need the Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, look at John 3:16. Sister Claudia has made it a point to bring up John 3:16 over the last few weeks, and I agree with her, because you can't have, look, Christmas is great, man, and it's wonderful, but we can't forget about the cross. You know what I mean? We can't forget about what he did for us at Calvary. Amen? So, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Well, hold on. Jesus was a Jew, so his people would be the Jewish people. Well, yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. But you got to understand, a lot of Jewish people rejected Jesus Christ. A lot of Jewish folks have rejected Jesus Christ. But look, it's not about the blood that is in your veins. It's about the blood that you've been washed in. You know what I'm saying? Give the Lord some praise. So his people, when it says he will save his people from their sins, that is the Jewish people, but it's also the people in Northwest Florida. It's also the people in Philly, the people in California. It's like this. When you call upon his name and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be your Lord and Savior, you just became one of Jesus' people. You know what I'm saying? What a beautiful, beautiful thing, man. For God so loved who? For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, he came for the world. He came for the Jews. He came for the world. A lot of Jews reject him. A lot of Gentiles reject him. But let it not be so with us. Can I get a witness? It says right here, for God so loved the world. We're part of that, kids. That he gave his only son, that whoever, that's us, whoever, we fall into that category, believes in him, should not perish, but have eternal life. So this was a mission that Jesus Christ willfully said, I will go. I will go. I will do this. Romans 6:23. Now look at this. Look at this. Because there is no doubt we've all broken God's law about every day. Every single day. We are being rebellious children sometimes. For the wages of sin is death. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means we're going to die. But it doesn't just mean that, because death means separation, you know? Separation. For the wages of sin is separation from your Creator, is separation from your God for eternity. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God. You didn't earn it. You can't earn it. But he offers this to us. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There it is right there, folks. That's really what Christmas is all about. You know, God is just so good. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the next slide. Is everybody doing all right? He will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. A lot of people got upset with that. All the people, a huge, huge group of people that signed on and said, Jesus, you are the Messiah. Jesus, you are the one we have waited for. They were all excited about that big time. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem that last time, they were screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they're like, this is the one. But then after a little while, when they realized that this guy, Jesus, he does all these amazing things, but he's not kicking the Romans out. What's going on? He's got to kick the Romans out. You know, because everybody's waiting for the Messiah. And throughout, you know, Hebrew history, the Israelite people would get into sin. God would allow someone to conquer them and take over them. Then they would repent. And God would bring in a Messiah-type person to free them. And that has happened over and over again in their history. So they knew that this guy, like everybody else before him, was going to kick out the Romans. But when he didn't do that, and he kept trying to explain to everybody, when he didn't do that, those same group of people that were screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they were all screaming, crucify him. And just like that, you know? But look what he came to do. He will save his people from their sins. Isn't that beautiful? All right, so we're on slide 4. You know, you ever see people like lick their fingers to turn pages? I feel like I want to do that, but I really don't want to do that in front of you. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. This is a big thing, Joseph. It's a lot bigger than the plans you originally had for Mary. It's going to be a heck of an adventure. You're going to travel. You're going to do a little traveling. You're going to go to Bethlehem. You're going to go see what Egypt's like this time of year. Matthew 1, 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is why we say, not my will, God, but your will be done. Because it is so much bigger and so much better to be obedient to God's plan. Let me say that again. This is why we say, not my will, but your will be done. This is why we surrender to God, because the plan that he has for you is so much better than the plan that you have for yourself. Let that sink in, man. Let that sink in. You know, Mary said, I'm your servant. God says, well, what about you? What about you, Victory Life Church? Are we in a tug of war between us and our Savior? You know, because he doesn't just want to be our Savior, but he really wants to be our Lord. And the government will be upon his shoulders. You know what I mean? Have we relinquished our own personal government to him? I'm not talking about the White House. I'm talking about what goes on in here. And I make my own decisions. Yeah, man, yeah. But God has to really make those decisions for us, man. Amen. We're going to save ourselves from a lot of unnecessary hurt and pain and torment. Amen. All this. So look, the angel's saying all this. He's like, Joseph, let me remind you of what you learned in synagogue all these years ago. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. That's Mary. Nobody was being naughty. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we still reap the benefits of that to this very moment, that God is with us. You know, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. A child is born, that's talking about his humanity. I was born. Sister Claudia was born. Brother Michael was born. For to us a child is born. That's his humanity. To us, a son is given. That's his deity. That's for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. He did that for me and for you. You know, Emmanuel, God is with us. When I accepted Christ, you know what? I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's because of the church you... No. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, boom, you just got filled with the Holy Spirit. You got filled with the Holy Spirit right then and right there. You know what I mean? So Emmanuel, God is with you. We need to spend time with God, who is wanting to spend time with us, who is with us. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. The angel says, look, you remember this? You remember this prophecy? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What's the angel doing? He's reminding him of Scripture. He's reminding him of something that he's already placed in his data banks. That's us, church people. That's us. You know what I mean? When you're going through it, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? That means I believe this book to be 100% true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Do what this book tells you to do, right? The angel is saying, hey, remember what the Scripture said? Knucklehead. Hey, McFly, guess what? You are in real time living out this prophecy that was given hundreds of years before you were even born, dude. That's why we say, God, not my will, but your will be done. Can I get a witness? Look at Psalm 32 and verse 8. This is David. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. This is God talking through David. And he's saying, this is what God says he will do for you. I will instruct you and teach you. And some of us, it's harder for us to learn than others. But God knows the exact method we need to learn. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know what I mean? He knows how to reach us. He knows how to teach us. But he says, get into this book. Get in this book because you got to store it up in your heart. Your word I've stored in my heart that I might not sin against you. Amen. Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. All your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Remember, Emmanuel, God is with you. My eye is upon you. He's watching over you. He is my father, and I'm his much-loved son. You are his much-loved son, your much-loved daughter. He's watching over us. Everlasting Father, we're not going to have to put his remains in the ground, you know, because he ain't dying, man. He ain't dying. He did that once, and he'll never have to do it again. And same thing with me and you, because we've accepted him. We're going to do it once, but that ain't the end for us, man. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. That's actually really good. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel. Remember, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Wonderful Counselor. We got, see, here's the thing, man, about this here book. That sounded real country, didn't it, Dustin? This here book, I say unto thee. There's a thing about this book, man, is it is alive. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, you know? And see, this book, man, when we get into it, he will give me the counsel I need. See, when you go to get counsel or someone decides they're going to bless you with their wisdom and they give you counsel, and it might be really good counsel or really good advice, but it's up to you whether or not you're going to take them up on that. You know what I mean? But remember, we're to submit to God. Above all, we submit to God, no matter what. And he is my wonderful counselor. So if I want the best counsel for whatever I'm going through, it's in the pages of the book. Amen? See, God cares about us so much. He gives us the manual for life, for every step of the way. Well, I've never faced that before. Let's get into the good book together. Let's reason together. Let's see what God says, and then let's stand on it. Let's walk in it. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You ever been stranded in the darkness somewhere and you can't see nothing? I'm talking about before that we all had a flashlight or a phone in our pocket, you know. But before them days, man. I've been like that, dude. One time I was in the woods with a buddy, and we were looking for something we shouldn't have been looking for. This is before I had Jesus. And we were in the woods looking for something that we shouldn't have been looking for. And I'm not bragging about my past. I'm not trying to make it look shiny, but I'm saying I know what it's like to be where I can't see nothing. So I'm out there in the woods, man, and my buddy, my partner in crime, man, Sandy, he's shaking. He's nervous. He's scared. And I got the flashlight. I'm like, look, dude, Matt. I'm not going to say his name. I said, look, dude, I'll let you hold the flashlight, but you got to be cool, dude. We're on a mission, bro. You got to hold this flashlight and light the way. And I give old Matt the flashlight. Something spooked him. And all I saw was the top of the flashlight hitting the trees as he went through the woods. What do we do? And now all of a sudden I'm in just perfect darkness. I'm like, Matt, dude, come back. It was an owl or something. I can't see nothing. Anyways, eventually he came back. We shouldn't have been out there, no way. But look, man, I'm getting really southern today. So, but look, your word is a lamp to my feet. God's word, when I get into it, it guides me. It tells me what path is safe and what path is not. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. I mean, I'm telling you, anywhere between poking your eye with a tree branch or falling off the cliff, you know. But if we follow his word, okay, we're going to be where we need to be. Can I get a witness? Give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. I'm sorry. I know I'm going long. Oh, bless your heart, everybody. Okay, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. He called his name Jesus. So here we see Joseph. We can say all day long, man, that we are a servant of the Lord. But the proof's in the pudding, right? Right? Whatever that really means. But we can say we're a servant of the Lord all day long, but we're not a servant until we begin to serve him. You know what I'm saying? Joseph could have been like what I just said earlier. He could have been like, ah, the price is too high. I am not willing to do that. That's great that this is a big Jesus thing. That's a big Holy Spirit thing. That's great. That's awesome. Find somebody else because I just can't handle that. He didn't do that, man. Matter of fact, looky here. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, said, Mary, it's me and you, baby. He took his wife. When the people are looking down on you, you're going to have to look through me first. Yeah? We can see why God picked this man out, man, because that's how what Jesus does to us. It's like, man, you ain't going nowhere that I ain't already been. Can I get a witness? Where are we doing? We're talking about Joseph being obedient, man, like us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He married Mary. He went all the way through with it, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So three things right there where Joseph is putting his faith in action, man. Being obedient to God, you know. And look at John 14, verse 15, right there. If you love me, this is what Rachel told me the night we got married, by the way. It was beautiful. She said, if you love me, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Well, it was strongly implied. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. Now look. This is what Jesus says. This is what God says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right? Remember Jesus having the conversation with the Pharisees earlier? And they're like, Jesus was like, yeah, you're serving your daddy, but your daddy ain't Abraham, because if your daddy was Abraham, you'd be doing things that Abraham did. And then they're like, no, well, bless God, our father's God. He's like, no, if God was your father, then you would love the Son. You know? John 14, verse 15, if we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments, man. You know, we need to be obedient, even when we don't want to do it. You know? That was a lot of information Joseph was getting right there. You know, he's like, you know what? Okay, God said it. I'm walking in it. I'm doing it. Because that's what we're here for, man. Look at James 2 and verse 26 in closing. James 2, verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead. That's an observation we've all made, right? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So Jesus just told us, man, you can say you're a servant of the Most High God all day long. But if you're really a servant of the Most High God, then you're going to be bearing some fruit. We're going to be about his business. Can I get a witness? So there's so much encouragement we can get from Mary, this little girl who said, my family might disown me. I don't know what they're going to do with me, but I'm your servant. I'm going to be obedient to you. And Joseph, I'm going to do what you said. I'm your servant. And here we are, Victory Life Church. Sometimes that road gets hard. Sometimes it can get lonely. But listen, we never, ever actually have to be alone, because Emmanuel, God, is with us. He is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And I want to go on record again saying, I don't like being brokenhearted. It's not my favorite thing to be. It's not on my list of things I want to experience in 2026. But I don't know no more than you know, man. But if and when he is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So no matter what we face, we say, God, your will be done. I'm your servant. And we submit to him.